Okay, so the shiur tonight is on Parshas Acharei Mos Kedoshim, and the shiur is going to focus on Klala, the concept of cursing the dead. And the first pasuk is the first source on the source sheets, which is Perek Yates Pasuk Yudalad in Vayikra, and it says, Losikaleel Chereish Lifnei Iver Lositein Mechshol V'yareisa Melokecha Aniyad Hashem. So the Torah teaches us in this pasuk three different components, or there's three elements in this pasuk. The first is that there's an isser, there's a prohibition to curse the deaf person. The second is that you're not supposed to place a stumbling block before a blind person. And the last idea is Yiras Hashem, that you shall fear Hashem, for I am Hashem. So the shiur is going to focus on Lusakaleel Cheresh, but I just saw this Ibn Ezra that I mentioned before, which I thought was very interesting. So in source number two, it says, V'chein Lusakaleel Cheresh, Ba'avur Sheyesh Lecha Koach. So you shouldn't curse the deaf person just because you think you have the power to do so. V'chein lifnei iver, and so to place a stumbling block before a blind person. V'yareisa melokecha shu yachol hanishcha lasumcha cheresh v'iver. So the reason is because Hashem can punish you, and he can make you into a deaf person or a blind person. So the question I had on the Ibn Ezra is it's a funny type of yira, meaning what's he teaching us v'yareisa melokecha? Are we supposed to think about this when we actually are in the situation? So there is two concepts. The most simple concept is, yes, he's teaching us that there's two types of yira. There's the yiras onesh, which is the lower form, and then there's yira in the highest form, like the Rambam mentions, the awe of Hashem. When you're in a situation where you're on the verge of taking advantage of others, you should think of yiras onesh. It's a good strategy to prevent you from doing an action that's of klala. But I think there's a deeper idea, which is that a person is capable of cursing because they break the identification with the person they're cursing or they're damaging. And even as you're saying that you should never break your identification because you could be that person. And as much as you think you're not, and that gives you the power, or the feeling, or the sense that you have the ability to curse that person, he's saying in his parish that Hashem has the ability to make you into them. Meaning you have to always recognize that and try to identify with others, even though they're different, or even though they're a cheresh and an iver, because that's the reality. The truth is that you could be like them. So as much as you try to distance yourself and cursing is a method or is allowed when you feel like you're not like that person at all, the reality is the opposite. So the Ibn Ezra is teaching us that when we're in that situation where we have this desire, one thing that we have to remember is that we're not drastically different than the person that we're cursing, and not try to break our identification with those people. Because in reality, we're not that different. We're not fundamentally different. Okay, fine. So I've gone through that a couple times. So now we'll go to source number three, which is Rashi. So this is kind of what I want to focus the shiur on, this Rashi. It says, Lusikalel cheresh, ein li ela cheresh. So that's just a deaf person, a cheresh. Minayin l'rabos kol adam. So where do we know that everybody, there's an iser to curse anybody? So where do we know that from? Talmud lomar, be'amcha lo sa'or. So there's another pasuk in Shemos, which says that within your people, within your am, you should not curse. So that is the general rule, that you shouldn't curse other people. You shouldn't do klala or curse. We're going to see other Jews that are not Rishayim. So im kain, so if that's the case, so Rashi says, im kain, lama ne'amar cheresh. So why does the Torah say cheresh? So ma cheresh miyuchad shehu b'chayim, af kol shehu b'chayim. So Rashi says that just like a cheresh has the characteristic of life, so too, any person that's living, that's when you're over the isser of klala. Yatza hamesh she'eno b'chayim. So Rashi says that, an interesting concept, that there's only an isser, midoraisa, of cursing a person who's alive. But once a person is dead, so there's no isser like that. So if your friend dies, or actually your enemy dies, and you curse them, yes, it would technically be asur, but not midoraisa. And that's what the Torah is teaching us. And he's learning it out from this drasha, that we already know that you're not allowed to curse your friend from be'amcha lo sa'or. So what does cheresh teach you? It teaches you that only a cheresh you'll be chaya for. Only somebody alive, but somebody dead you're pater from. So there's a lot of factual questions, like what kind of limud is this? Why? How does cheresh teach you that? And we'll go through that. But let's just go through the Rashi's, get some facts down, and then we'll get into the svaras, hopefully. So the next Rashi in three is V'yareisa, sorry, V'lifnei Iver lo siten michshol. So what is that? L'fnei asuma b'davar lo siten etza she'eno hogenesla. So when somebody's blinded to something, doesn't mean physically blind, you shouldn't give them bad advice to take advantage. Al tomar mechor sadcha v'kach lecha chamor. Don't tell a person that you know is not savvy in business to sell their field and take a donkey in exchange. That's not a good deal. V'ata okef aleihem alav v'not lahem enu. And really, you're just trying to take advantage and to circle them and circumvent them in order to take the field. So don't do that. Don't take advantage of people who you know you can take for a business ride. Okay. V'yareisem elokecha. So what's the last part? L'fisha davar ze ino maser lebrios leida im daito shel ze letova o lera'a v'yachol di shame v'lomar letova niskavanti. So in all these cases, a person could lie to themselves and justify the act. L'fichach ne'amor bo v'yareisem elokecha hamakir machshevo secha. So Rashi argues with the Ibn Ezra, and he says that the idea of Yiras Hashem is in these situations, people can justify it and say, oh, I didn't really mean to take advantage of that person. You can lie to yourself and recognize that Hashem is aware of your thoughts. V'chein kol davar ha-masr libo shel adam ha-oseyuv ein shar b'yos makiros bo ne'amar b'v'yoresa melekecha. So that's a general principle. There are other places where people won't know what you're doing, and the Torah uses the term b'yoresa melekecha to teach you that Hashem is aware. Okay, so those are just the facts. I kind of want to focus. I just wanted to do the pshat in the psukim and the pasuk that we read, but the main idea that I want to focus on is this concept of klala by a chayim and not a mace. So what kind of idea is that? And we'll see that there's kind of a contradiction. There's another case that we'll look at where you are chayiv for klala by a mace. So we're going to try to understand, that's going to be the ultimate question. What's the difference? Why would you be chayiv? Why would you be obligated and be punished in a situation where a person is dead versus not? What are those situations? So that's why, also, that's why the title this year is Cursing the Dead. So if we look in let's look in the Sifsei Chachamim and try to understand the Limudim in Rashi. So Rashi, in source number 4, Sifsei Chachamim says, the lo haya lo lomar ele v'nasi lo sa'or, be'amcha lamali el l'rabos kol sheba'amcha. So the Torah says, v'nasi, it says, v'nasi be'amcha lo sa'or. So Rashi notices that the pasuk could have just said, v'nasi lo sa'or. Why does it say ba'amcha, nasi, amongst your nation or within your nation? So it's teaching you this chiddush, kol sheba amcha, which means that you're only chayev a klala on a person who's observant, who keeps the Torah mitzvos, but a person who's an open Russia, you're not really chayev on. And then he says, but that's the second lima. Umarsha darshu, but osem ma'ase amcha, ino ela mismichos midesamech asharas nasi lasharas amcha. Sorry, that's the second idea. The first idea is that amcha includes everyone in your nation. So it teaches you that there's an iser to curse anybody in your nation. And there's another limud, which we're not going to take up, which is the idea that amcha means people who are shomer Torah mitzvos, not people who are rishayim. But the Sifsei Chachamim is teaching us the limud that it didn't have to say ba'amcha. The fact that it says v'nasi ba'amcha lo sa'or is teaching you anybody in your nation is included. So then the question is, why is the Torah redundant? Why does the Torah mention Cheresh? So look in the next one, Rashi, Sifsei Chacham, sorry, on Rashi, in source number 5. The I lav miyuta havamina degam meis bechlal. So if not for the miyut that of Cheresh, you would have thought that there's an iser to curse a mace. The halakaban ksiv aviv v'imo kilel. The Torah says by your parents that if you curse them, that you're chayv misa. L'rabos l'achar misa. That includes cursing your parents after misa. L'chach itzdrich l'miyuta. That's why you need the miyut. Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. So Rashi mentions that over here there's a miyut of cheresh, meaning cheresh is coming to exclude one situation, which is when somebody's dead, there's no iser to curse them, deraisa. But in the case of your parents, when your parents are dead, there is an iser deraisa to curse them even though they're dead. So the question is, what's the difference? That's the question that we're going to focus on. Why is it that by a regular person, when you curse them after they're dead, there's no real iser, but by your parents, there is this iser? And can we explain it not just halachically, but philosophically? So that's what we're going to focus on.
Can I ask?
Yeah, of course. You can always ask.
It's, saying that there is a proof, like a reality to the curse? Or does it matter?
So that's what we're going to get into, hopefully. Like, I want to try to explain what the idea of a curse is, and we're going to kind of get into that. So hopefully, yeah, so it's a good question. Good question. So definitely, if we don't take it up at the end, but I think you'll have the answer by the end of this year. But that's a fundamental question. What kind of idea is it of this curse? What's the concept of a curse in the Torah? So before we get to that, that's how we're going to develop. We're going to develop towards that idea. This is a very interesting Gur Aryeh in source number 6 on Rashi. Explains Rashi. And he explains the limud of cheresh. I didn't understand it at first. What is the idea of cheresh being bechayim? What kind of concept is that? So he says, perish, cheresh ki ilu meis. So cheresh is it's as if he's dead. Sh'ramina n'charshu nosin lo d'me kulo. If you make somebody deaf, you have to pay him everything. Meaning it's as if you took his life. The amar lach hakasuv ad cheresh. So the Torah is teaching us that up to a cheresh, that's when you're chayev. Meaning the cheresh is like the lowest level of life. Afa gav she'cheresh nami ki'ilu lo haya. Even though a cheresh, it's as if they're not alive. Pretty sad. Mikom lakom eno meis. They're still alive. So even though they're, I guess, psychologically, they're like a meis. It's like their life is over. But they're physically alive. And that's the shir. And that's what the Torah is teaching us. Aval im meis legamri. But if a person is actually dead, ain't over a love. If you curse that person, you're not over. The im tomar, and if you want to say, mehechi tisi lilmod shia chayev ala meis, where would you know that you would be chayev kol ala meis? Why would you think that? The hatzarach kra, the mekal ove v'imo la'achar misa shu chayev. So you need it, same thing as the siftei chachamim, because of the fact that we have this pasuk by your parents that you would be chayev there. He says, v'yesh lomar dafka gabe ove v'imo. It's only by your parents. The chiyuv shelo mipnei shekilal ave v'imo. The chiyuv is because you cursed your parents. Lo mipnei haklala bilvad. It's not because of the klala itself. The hava amina dafka b'chaim. And you would have thought only b'chaim, only when they're alive. She'ave v'imo mitzdarin, only when they're upset, when they're bothered by the curse. Aval la'achar misa lo, you would have thought that there's no idea of cursing your parents after they're dead. Sarach kra l'rabos. That's why you need a pasuk to include this idea that your parents, your chayv misa for, sorry, your chayv misa if you curse them after they're dead. Aval kan im kasav stam lusikaleil havamina dechiyuvahu bishvila klala shotim epiv. If it just said lusikaleil, you would have thought that you're chayv if you just curse. Afilu meis hu oso shekilel, even if the person that you were cursing was dead. Lachach tzarech kra lemait v'chasav cheresh lemait hamikalel hameis. That's why the Torah has to distinguish and teach us that there's no iser of cursing the dead. Okay, so the Gur Aryeh, he's kind of giving us a svara here, like a little bit of a svara. Not really philosophical, more halachic, I think. But it sounds like he's saying, if you look inside again, he says, V'yesh lomar dafka gabi aviv v'imo, d'chiyuvo shalom mipnei shekilo aviv v'imo, lo mipnei haklala bilvad, v'hava amina dafka b'chaim she'aviv v'imo mitzdarin. You would have thought that the only iser of klala by your parents is if your klala could have an effect on your parents. Kamash malon, even la'achar misa, which is a situation, according to the Gur Aryeh, where it can't have an effect on your parents, and yet you're still chayev. But in a regular case, we say that you're not chayev if the person's dead, only if they're alive. So what's the difference? Maybe just define it halachically. So what are these havamina maskanas here in the Gur Aryeh? So one havamina, I think, is that your parents, the Havamina, or what's the idea, what's the concept? I just want to highlight the concept. So the Havamina by your parents seems to be that a klala is like a type of hezek, it's like a type of damage. And if your parents are dead, you can't really damage them because they're dead already, so there's no idea of being mazik them, they're not mitzdar, you can't hurt them, they can't feel the pain. So the Havamina is saying that you're only chayav klala if your klala can function as a mazik. But if your klala can't function as a mazik, then you're not chayev. Kamash malon, by your parents, even though they're not affected, there's an iser gavra, it seems like. They're saying that there's an iser to be a mekalel. Just to be a mekalel is the iser by your parents. Whereas by a regular person, a Jew that's not your parents, so the iser of klala seems to be that you're not allowed to damage somebody else, And when you produce a klala that has the potential to damage, that's when you're over the iser. So there seems to be a little bit of a halachic definition here, I think, which is that their formulation of the iser klala by your parents is different than the formulation by a shar adam. By your parents, the iser is to be a mekalel, to be a gavra hamekalel of avivimo. So it's just that as long as you have involved yourself, you're engaged yourself in this process of being mekalel, then you're chayev. But by a regular individual, it's really to be mazik them. It's really to damage them, or to at least produce an entity that could damage them. And that's why the Gur Aryeh says mitzdarin by your parents. That was the Havamina. The Havamina is kind of the maskana for the... Sorry, I'm using these Gemara terminology. So the Havamina is what you would have thought, and the maskana is the conclusion. So the Havamina, what you would have thought by your parents, is really the idea by Shar Adam, that the concept of klala is different. The concept of klala and the iser, you're over the iser when you create an entity that's a mazik, that's a damager. But by your parents, it's just being a gavra hamakalel that makes you chayef. So hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. Why do you say that it's one's a chafetz gavra here, basically? Why perhaps the klala is a different maisa? Right, it's like Birch Hashem. I mean,
yeah,
right? The parents, their creator, going, you know, I don't want to start jumping ahead.
Yeah, so that's what. Yeah, so I think that's more like philosophical, and we're gonna get into that. I'm gonna get into that idea, but I think this is just the basic step. But yeah, I think if you go further, and hopefully we'll get to that. Yeah, you'll see that idea, that concept more. Okay. I hear what you're saying, and we're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that idea of the idea of your creator. And I'll try to tie it in, okay? But right now, I'm just looking at... I think the Gur Aryeh is not really going into philosophy. I'm just looking at it in the most, like, the most basic halachic sense from what I see from this Gur Aryeh. But you're right. It's and it could be others argue with him in terms of the Svara. And we will see that. So let's go on a little bit, and we'll come to that, hopefully. All right. So look in source number 7. So the pasuk, what's the pasuk by your parents? It says ki ish ish asher yikalel saviv es imo mos yumas aviv imo kilel damav bo. So it says by your parents that if you curse your parents, that you're chayv misa, because you cursed your parents, the blood is upon you, damav bo. So Rashi, look in source number 8. Rashi says aviv imo kilel l'rabos v'achar misa. So this is the limud that even after they're dead. Even after your parents are dead, you're chayev klala for cursing them, and you're even chayev misa, which is pretty strong. So again, the Sifsei Chachamim, just for the facts, lo takish lemake aviv shechayev dafka b'chayim im lo kain harei kfar amor ish asher yikalelos aviv es imo elakan ba l'rabos l'achar misa. So you would have thought that there's a hekesh to haka, that if you hit your parents after they're dead, you're not chayev. So too by klala. So the chiddush is that klala even exists la'achar misa. So klala, as opposed to haka, which is when you hit your parent, you're also chayv misa. So if you create a bruise in your parents, you're chayv misa. So that only exists when your parents are alive. But klala exists even after they're dead. So first, just one more step in the halachic sphere in the Gemara, and then we'll go into the I think the philosophical underpinnings of this idea. So look in the Gemara, look in source number 10. So the Gemara, I found this, obviously the Torah Tmima quoted this Gemara, and the Gemara is in Sanhedrin, Daf Pehe Amud Beis, if you have the source sheets, it's on the second page. It says, Tana Rabbanan, rabbis taught, of the v'imo kilel, la'achar misa, even la'achar misa, shi'yachol ho'il v'chayv v'makeh v'chayv v'makalel. You might have thought that since you're chayv for both hitting your parents, and also cursing your parent, ma makeh eno chayev ela mechayim, just like a makeh, you're only chayev if your parent is alive. Af hamekalel eno chayev ela mechayim. So too, you would have thought that a mekalel too only works mechayim if your parents are alive. The ode, and furthermore, kal v'chomer, it's a kal v'chomer, uma makeh she'asa bo shelo ba'amcha kiba'amcha, by a makeh, by haka, you're chayev, for anybody in the nation, anybody in Klal Yisrael, lo chayev bo la'achar misa, and yet you're not chayev for it after misa, by haka, by regular individual. Mekalo shelo asa bo shelo ba'amcha kiba'amcha, So Mekalel, where the Chiyuv for Mekalel only exists by Tzadikim, or not Tzadikim, but people who are not Rashaim, but by Rasha there's no Iser. Eino din shelo chayev bo l'achar misa. So should it not also not apply l'achar misa? Tamalomar aviv imo kilel l'achar misa. So that's why you need the pasuk to teach you that l'achar misa you're chayev, that you're obligated if you curse your parents l'achar misa. So the Gemara teaches us, I know this is very like technical, but the Gemara is teaching us two concepts as to why you might have thought the other way, that really you would have thought that klala should not apply to somebody who's dead, no matter what. And one is that there's a comparison between haka by your parents and haka by mekalel, mekalel by your parents. And the other is that there's a kal vachomer from the idea of makah in general, that makah applies to anybody. If you hit anybody, you're chayev. And by klala, so it's very specific. So if by maket, la'achar misa, it doesn't apply. So even more so, by klala, la'achar misa shouldn't apply. Kamash malon, no, it still applies for your parents. So what exactly is going on here in the Gemara? What's a havamina? It's like a similar type of idea. What's a havamina maskana here? So just one other point, and then I just want to set up an idea in klala. So it seems like the Gemara is saying that the havamina by klala is that it's like a form of hakah. So the havamina is saying that by makah, so makah is eno chayev elo mechayim, that makah is really a more forceful form of klala, and klala is really a lighter form. So if by makah, which is a stronger mazik, it's like a more forceful form of damage, you're only chayev mechayim. So certainly by a lighter form of damage, by klala, you should also only be chayev mechayim. And then the Gemara is also saying that hakah, similar idea, that hakah, the entity that your makah really is dependent on, or is really universal. So we see again that hakah is a really more forceful form of hezek. So therefore, and we see that klala is not, because it only applies to certain individuals. Kamash malon, no. So what does this teach us? This teaches us, I think, a fundamental idea about how we view hakah and klala, which is that it seems like in both situations, the Gemara is assuming that when you curse somebody, it's like a lighter form of hakah. That hakah is more serious because it's physical, but klala is really less. It's like a mini hakah. It's like a cheap form of hakah. And the Gemara is teaching us that there are two different categories. There's hakah and the klala. They're not really. It's not that klala is a miniature form of hakah. It's not that when you curse somebody, it's as if you're damaging them on a smaller scale, but it's really a different entity than hakah. So I think it's important that we have that idea, that concept, that there's two damages. There's hakah and there's klala, and they're not really, it's not that klala is a subset of hakah in any way, and that's what the Gemara is teaching us, that you might have thought that because hakah is stronger, it's more forceful, it applies to everybody, klala should be compared to it. So klala is like a lighter form because of the fact that it seems like it's not as forceful, it only applies in specific situations. Kamash Molan, they're two different concepts. Klala and Hakar are two different concepts. So what is the concept? So now we're going to get to the more of the philosophy. So now the question is, okay, we have this halachic framework that really klala cursing is different than Hakar fundamentally, and it's not that klala is a miniature form of Hakar. And we also saw before, I think in the Gur Aryeh, where he's showing you that there's a different formulation by your parents, halachically, at least this is how I was saying it, which is that you're chayev if you're a mekalel by your parents, but you're only chayev if you produce a mazik by Shar Adam. But what is the idea? I just want to understand the basic idea of your parents, of why you should be chayev after they're dead. I mean, that's the question. Why? What kind of idea is it that if I curse my parents, even I use the Shem Hashem and I curse them, you know, what's the philosophy? Why should I be chayev after they're dead? I kind of get it if they're alive, but what is that idea? So, to answer that, we'll look at the Torah Tmima and also the Meiri, and then we'll try to kind of put it together. Okay, so the Torah Tmima is in source number 12. He's on this Gemara, and he tries to take up this idea of what the concept is of being chayev misa for cursing your parents after they're dead. Besides, they're in the grave, they're in the ground, and who cares at this point? So he says, Dimiyusarhu, it's extra. Umar ba'afila achermisa. So he's going on the idea of aviv imel kilel, aviv imo kilel. So it's extra. You don't need that in the pasuk. So it's teaching us that la'achermisa yerchayev. Okay, v'sach simen tafkuf ein vav hispiratam dechomer yosir mikalo mimake bezeh shemikalo chayev afla achermisa v'lo amake. So he says that we see that klala is more strict than haka, because haka, you're not chayev after a person's dead. If you hit a dead body, you're not chayev. But klala, you are in the case of your parents. Mishum debeklala yish hezek l'neshama. So he says, the Torah Tmima says, that by klala, there's a damage to the neshama. So that's interesting. What does that mean? What is that talking about? So klala is a damage to the neshama, and therefore it could even apply after the person's dead. That's what he's saying. The omnam, but the question is, okay, if that's the case, then you should never be allowed to be mekalo. So he says, omnam lofiyam mevuar lefaninu sof parshas emor ta'am demake la'achar misa pater mishum de'eno chayev elim kin yaseh chabura. He says the reason why you're pater when you hit a dead body is because you can't create a bruise. La'achar misa lo shay chabura. There's no idea of bruising after you're dead, or at least creating a bruise like that. Im kein yesh lomar pashet delachin lo mechalkina b'makalo b'mechayim min la'achar misa kevan delo shayach bo atam de'bamake. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to differentiate between chayim and mavis by klala, because there's no chabura. By makah there is. Ela rak mishum ha'eder ha'kavod av v'kaimel on the tzarach l'chabdo b'chayev v'mamoso k'mevuar b'kiddushin. But then he says it's because of the idea, the concept of kibud avaim, and he says that you're chayev to be mechabed your parents when they're alive and when they're dead. So he seems to be saying two ideas. The Torah Tmima. One idea is that he's saying that a klala is really something that is really hezek l'neshama. So that's how he's trying to understand or trying to explain why there's an idea of being mekala somebody after they're dead. And then the other idea is that he's tying it to kibud avim, and he's trying to show us why there would be a distinction between this case by your parents after they're dead, it's aser and your chayav misa, versus a regular case. So I just want to show you that it's not just the Torah Tmima, but you even have the Me'iri, who kind of says both ideas as well. And then we'll try to understand it. So look at the Me'iri in source number 13. I know this is, I actually looked at the Me'iri just to make sure that I use this Chavrusa, it's like the Masifta kind of on Bar Ilan, but it helps you. And he quotes the Me'iri, and I looked up the Me'iri, so it's accurate. We can trust the Chavrusa here. So it says in source number 13, Kasav ha-me'iri, shetama davar, nira shamakya achar miso, eno ela kamakya sa'afar. When you hit a body after the body's dead, it's like you're hitting the dirt. Ava klala nigreres achar nefesh, shihin yasharis. But klala is dragged after the soul, which is still in existence. So that's the first idea. And then he says, Varib lunil kasav atam, mishum shamakalo mevazes aviv, v'chivan shamakalo aviv, afilu shalo befanav, chayev, Lachin gamal achar misa hu chayev. And the second answer is that it's tied to kibud avim, that there's an iser to be mevazi your father and your mother. And since even if you curse your parents, you know, outside of their shalom b'fanav, when you're not in their presence, chayev, so even so after misa. So he kind of mirrors, the Me'iri mirrors, and this chavrusa, he quotes these two shitos, and it kind of mirrors the two ideas in Torah Tmima, which is one, that really the idea is that it's somehow tied to the nefesh, but then the second idea is that it's a kibud avim idea. So the question is, what is this nefesh idea? What does that mean? What does that mean that it's like mazik l'neshama? How can we explain that in I guess in a more rational framework here, which is what we're trying to do. So how do we explain that? So I want to take the easier side first, and then we'll get to the harder side. So the easier side is that what's the reason, what's the philosophy behind the idea that klala, that cursing your parents after they're dead is really an iser, and it's iser deraisa. Well, why would it be like that? Why would it be set up like that? So I was thinking about this Rambam and on the idea of kibud avim, and the Rambam says in source number 14, he says, kibud avim mitzvos aseh gedola v'chein mora avim. So kibud avim is a very big mitzvah, and there's a comparison. I mean, you have to treat your parents the same, your father and your mother. Kasuv kabeis avicha v'asimecha v'chasuv kabeis Hashem honecha mahoncha. Sorry, uv'avi v'imo kasuv ishimo v'avit tiro v'chasuv Hashem lokecha tiro. Kedek shetziva al kavod shemo agadol umoro kach tziva al kvodam umoraam. So the Ram says that there is a comparison between the kavod for your parents and kavod for Hashem, that you have to kind of treat your parents in a similar way. And the idea that I think the Rambam is hinting to is that Kibud Avim stems from the idea that they're your creators, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your creator. And facilitating Kibud Avim and the mitzvah of Kibud Avim is not just an idea in your parents, but it's an idea in Hashem too, in I guess, recognizing the greatness of the ultimate creator of Hashem, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So really, Kibud Avim for your parents isn't just about them per se, it's about really about as a stepping stone. It's really a platform for a person to really be mechabed as Hashem. So in order for you to be mechabed as Hashem properly, you have to go through this mitzvah. This mitzvah is necessary. So I think that's what the Rambam is saying. But now we can explain what the idea of klavo v'acharmisa is. So it makes sense based on this Rambam. So I think the idea of your parents, I think Donnie was saying this before, that the idea of your parents is that it's not really for them per se. It's not about them. It's not about painting them. Like the Gur Aryeh says that the Havamina is that the Isser is tied to being Mitzdar them. It's not about that. The idea of Kibud Avim is about relating to your parents as creators in order to be a stepping stone or a platform or a means of giving you a certain insight, into relating to Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think that that's the idea of Lachar Misa. So Lachar Misa is showing you, Lachar Misa is showing you that even after your parents are dead, that idea, that concept that they're a creator still exists, that hasn't changed. And that concept of Kibud Avim as a method or a means of relating to God properly, that still exists, and your parents still function as a medium or a means of approaching Hashem properly, whether they're alive or they're dead. So I think that's the first idea that I wanted to share in the shir, which is what we started the shir with, which is the question was, by Klala, why is there an Isser to be Makala your parents after they're dead? You'd think that it wouldn't have any effect on them. And that is the concept. It's not about the effect of your Klala on your parents or on the individual when it comes to your parents. It's about the idea of your parents being your creators and being a means of you to relate to Hashem properly, and that exists regardless of whether your parents are alive or dead. They're still the creators of you. And let me just one more point, and then ask the question. Then the Sefer HaChinuch, he quotes the Rambam by the other idea of Mekala by a regular person. So look in source number 15. He says, "V'Rambam zichrono levracha amar b'tam mitzvah zu k'deish li ania nefesh ha-mekala el hanekama v'lo yargilena lichos." So he says by Mekala, by a regular Jew, the Chinuch says, he quotes the Rambam, and he says the idea of the Isser is that we don't want to create a situation of nekama, of revenge, and we don't want to facilitate anger. The od harich b'inyan b'svaro, and he goes into detail, v'nirali medvarav shlo yirahu b'daito nezek ela mekula b'klala, ela shetarchik ha-Torah inyan mitzad mekala. So it's not really about the damage to the person who's being affected, but the Torah wanted the Mekalo to separate from this action. It didn't want the Mekalo to be engaged in Nekama and Kas. So the Chinuch is saying, in general, the idea of being Mekalo by a regular person is about anger. It's about creating, preventing disharmony in society. Because if you have people cursing each other out, it's not really going to create a harmonious society. It's going to create a dysfunctional society. But the idea of Mekala by parents is totally different. It's a fundamentally different idea, according to what I'm learning into the Rambam and based on the Meiri, or the second Shito, sorry. The idea is that by your parents, it has nothing to do with that. It doesn't have to do with Kas. It has to do with the idea that Kibud Avim demands that you relate to your parents as your creators. And you use that, and that's a means of relating to Hashem properly. So that explains the differentiation, at least philosophically, between the two categories. One is, by a regular person, it's only if they're alive that you're chayef. Why? Because the idea of Mekalel is the idea, I think, of creating a disharmony in society. And you're not allowed to do that. It's also, you're not allowed to damage somebody else. You're not allowed to. It's not necessarily the effect of the damage, but it's also, like the Chinuch is saying, it's also you giving into your anger and nekama. But that's an idea of being Adam Machavero. But the idea of your parents is being Adam Makom. So the idea of being Mekalel, and I think Donnie, I think you were saying this before, the idea of Mekalel is totally different. It has to do with being Mevazi your parents. It's a totally different category philosophically. It's the concept of relating to your parents as your creators, regardless of whether they're alive or dead, they're still your creators. And there's still this opportunity and this need to be Mechabi them and to not be Mevazi them in order that you relate to Hashem properly. So this other idea is really strange. If anybody has any possibilities, I think I have a svara, but yeah, go ahead.
Ginsburg.
Yes.
Just I think maybe even the activity of the cursing is different, right?
Yeah.
Because a person is cursing the source of their existence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. What else are they doing? Yeah. That they're cursing their dead parent.
Right.
They're cursing them for bringing them into the world.
Right.
They really are cursing them qua creator of some sort, that they were the ones who formed them and made them who they are.
Right, right. So that's like, yeah, I agree. Regardless of whether they're alive or dead, when you do that, you're really, yes, you're saying it's like a bizoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, it's a...
It's directly. It's not just simply like, because when you curse your parents, you know, your parents have a special status.
Right.
I'm saying the Maisa Kala itself is different than it would be to a random person, because it really is similar to Berach Hashem in that sense.
Yeah, it's not the exact same thing, because you see, I think that there's a different Misa. Like, I know you can't learn from Onshim, but I think by your parents it's Skila, but I think by just Kala, by Hashem, I think it's Chenek. I'm not sure. I might be wrong. But yes, I agree with you. I agree with what you're saying. Yeah.
What about, like, you would think that hitting is also,
You mean after Lachar Misa?
Yeah, because the act of hitting is also disrespect, but is that because you can't...
Yeah, that's what...
You can't apply to Hashem? I mean...
Yeah, exactly. No, it doesn't. That's the point. Yeah, there's no idea like that. You can't affect Hashem anyways, but the idea of physicality is totally removed from the idea of God, you know, the idea of being Makeh your parents. And furthermore, it's just... Also, there's like a halachic problem of Chabura. So, like, even if it were philosophically a problem, like, it wouldn't be able to be fit into the system, because you can't create a chabura in a dead body. There's just no – it's not considered a chabura. But also, I think philosophically, the idea of hitting is really different than – is really removed from the idea of Hashem because of the physicality of it, whereas kala is more – I guess it's more ideational. Go ahead.
I mean, definitely it could be an act against Kibud Orim also, because it's, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that you should go around hitting your dead parents.
Oh, God.
It's definitely not a good thing to do, but I don't think you're over an Isser. You're not over an Isser D'Oraisa, so that's the point, because it doesn't have the halachic capability of fitting into the system. And also, I think it's a little removed from the philosophy, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. So one other point, I don't know if this is the right answer, but the Meiri, what is he talking about? The first answer, he says that the reason why Klala is effective by a Misa is because he says, Ha Klala Negreres Achar Hanefesh, Shehinish Eris. So he says that the Klala, it's like dragged along after the soul of a human being, and it's still in existence. But if that's the case, then what's different about your parents? You know, why are you chayev and cursing, only chayev and cursing your parents after they're dead, if this idea is true, and not for regular people, for a regular Jew? So that was something that was bothering me. And you can't really say the kibud av ha'im thing, because that's the next answer. It seems like this answer is independent. It seems like it's its own answer, that klala somehow can effectuate or affect the soul of a human being, even lachar misa. And like the Torah Tumimah says the same thing. It's mazik haneshama. And that's why it's usher. But then you still have to answer, why is it different over here by your parents and versus a regular Jew? So I just wanted to try a possibility. And maybe you'll disagree, which is fine. But what is that idea? What's that concept? So maybe the idea of nefesh, the concept of kala affecting the nefesh, is that when you curse somebody b'shem Hashem, you're really attacking the essence of the person. You're really attacking. You're not attacking their physical body, but you are attacking, you know, themselves, who they are essentially, which is the person, the soul, the neshama. That's who they are. So the directive of the klala is really towards not towards the physicality of a human being, but it's really towards the essence of who they are. But there's another idea in Klala, which is that Klala creates one of the damages of Klala. I think the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva that you're chayiv in damages for Klalos. At least the Rambam says, I saw an interesting Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, that before you can get mechila, you have to give back what you owe your friend. And he brings down Geneva, and he brings down Klala, and he brings down like Hezek. So you see that Klala is a type of damage. So what is the damage of the soul? So I think the idea is tied to the reputation of the person, I think. Which is that I think that when you're Mekala somebody, so it affects the perception of that person, that person's essence. It's not just that you're damaging the person physically and you might have created a bruise, but really when you're being Mekalel somebody, so what you're doing is that you're damaging the perception of their essence. And especially in a situation where you're chayev, it has to be, you know, be'edin basra. So you're kind of doing it in a somewhat of a public sense, in a public way. So the idea is that you're creating or you're damaging the person, not just through affecting him intellectually if he hears the klala, but you're affecting his reputation. You're affecting who he is in the minds of others, from the perception of others. So maybe the idea is that la'achar misa, there's really a limit to how much of an effect your klala can have on a dead person's reputation and on who others thought you were. But your parents, I mean, you are as an individual, you are reflective of your parents, whether you like it or not. And when people see you, they associate to your parents. So maybe the idea that the Meiri is saying, and maybe the Torah Tamima are saying, is that you can still damage your parents' reputation because of the relationship you have when you're being Mekala your parents. You can damage the perception of who they were as people and what their essence were. That could still exist, the Achar Misa. So the easy way to go would give some type of idea that the soul is really affected. I just don't understand that. To me, the idea of the soul being affected is that what happens is that the reputation of the essence of the person, of who they were they good people, were they Rasham, the essence is really affected through Klala. And a son, a child, a daughter, they can have that effect in this world. They can still effectuate the reputation of their parent who has died. But when it comes to a random person who you don't have a relationship with, there's a limit to how much you affect their reputation. They're already dead. Nobody really is thinking about them. They're not really encountering them. But you're reflective of your parents. So when you do that vis-a-vis your parents, that's what I think he means, that it's negreris achar nefesh she'ina sheris. It means that the essence of your parent is really, the perception of the essence of your parent is really drastically affected. And that is damaging. And that's damaging. Yes, it's not damaging to them because they don't feel hurt or anything like that, but it's damaging to the nefesh of the individuals. It's almost like a bizoy of the Telem Elokim of your parents. So maybe that's what it means. It means that the klala can have that effect on your parents, but it means that it has an effect on how they're perceived, how their essence is perceived, who they were, and that's why it only exists by the son or the daughter, because only then is that reality of you being reflective of your parents always constant and consistent. But when it comes to a random person, there's a limit, and that's why the Torah said only if the person's alive will really have a damaging effect on their reputation, their perception. Once the person's dead and you're a random person, an enemy of theirs, I mean, I don't know. I think there's a limit to how much damage or how much it affects the reputation of the person. So that's what I'm going with. it might not be satisfying, but that's the best that I can come up with. So I just wanted to maybe a different shiur will go through the Ramban, but I just wanted to stop here. So I just want to go through the shiur and basically break down the ideas. So the question that we started the shiur was on the idea of cursing the Chayrash. So Rashi says that cursing the Chayrash teaches us that really when a person's alive, that's when you're chayv for a klala, if you're cursing somebody who's alive. But once they're dead, there is no chiyav deraisa. But for some reason, by your parents, it's different. So we wanted to understand why is it that by a klala, by a friend or by an enemy, why they have to be alive, but by your parents, you know, even if they're dead, why is it that you're chayav misa? It's really strict. So we gave a couple of halachic ideas. One is that by your parents, it's an idea in the Gavra that you're a Gavra Mikalel versus the idea of the Cheftzel, the idea of by somebody else who has to be alive. You have to create something that could create damage. And that can only exist when a person's alive. So we said that was the kind of the Maharal's approach, which is that Svara, which is that's the distinction. By your parents, you are Chayav for being a Mikalel. But by a regular person, the Chayav is to create an entity that is damaging. Okay, so, and then we went to the Gemara, and the Gemara tried to show us that Klola and Hakar are different entities. But the basic question that we want to try to answer is, what's the difference? So the clear-cut winner here is the idea of Kibud Avaim. So the concept is teaching us that Klola by your parents is fundamentally different than Klola by a regular person, by somebody who's not your parent. Klola by your parents is an idea that relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because like the Rambam says, it's a din in Kvod Shemayim, and a bizoy of your parents is an idea in bizoy Kvod Shemayim, and therefore it exists even after they're dead, because they're still creators and you're still being mavaz of them as your creators. Whereas by klala, in society, by a person who's alive, it only exists when there's the possibility of disharmony, and once the person's dead, you know, it's no longer an issue. But the other idea, which I don't know if the other possibility, is the idea of neshama, that it somehow has an effect. It could still have an effect even after the person's dead. So I wanted to say that when a child is mekalo their parent, even after they're dead, it has a fundamental effect on the perception of who they were as individuals. Whereas if it's a random person, it doesn't have as much of an effect on the perception of their essence, of their neshama. But over here, in the case of the child, when the child does it, it's really reflective of, because the child's a reflection of the parents, it's really damaging to the idea and the identity of the parents. And therefore, it's klala par excellence. It's like the ultimate idea of klala, in the sense that it ruins, that's what I'm saying the essence of klala is. It's really an idea of destroying the person's reputation, destroying the person's essence in society. And I would say over here that it exists primarily by a son, by a child. I keep saying son, but a son and a daughter, by children. It exists in particular. All right? So hopefully that answered some of the questions. And if anybody has any questions or anything like that, you know, feel free.
Yeah.